sale. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Inhale. Hold. Exhale. Some of us may have felt tension that we didn't know was there. Some of us may have felt relief of that same tension. I invite you to continue breathing as I continue with the teaching and to be present with your body. We have a tendency to change our breath, the depth of it and its rhythm. If there's been any trauma or if there's pain, whether that's physical, emotional, or any aspect of ourselves that we don't have the capacity or desire to hold. Intentional breathing is a way that we can start to integrate and welcome those parts of ourselves, and only to the degree that we desire. This invitation to our deepest breath, to living into all parts of ourselves, is an invitation I found in our readings today. In each one, we have an invitation to include the neglected, rejected, and holy parts of ourselves and our community. Perhaps the way that our mothers accepted and loved us, or someone else who loved us in that whole way, welcoming our deepest breaths and loving our most neglected, rejected, and holy parts. So we remember and honor our mothers and anyone who has mothered us or loved us in this way as we delve into the sacred text that invites us to believe in the wholeness of our community, the wholeness of ourselves, and the wholeness of God. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, we hear of how the Hellenists, Greek-speaking Jewish Christians, raise their voices in complaint against the Hebrews, Aramaic-speaking Jewish Christians, for the way their widows were being neglected in daily distribution of food. So they called together the community and selected reputable ones among them who they felt were filled with the Spirit and wisdom. Once the community approved, those selected received prayers and had hands laid upon them before beginning their work to feed the hungry. The word of God continued to spread and the numbers of followers increased. Even a large group of priests, aka people of power, were becoming obedient to the faith. This reading presents a scaffolding for communities when we've forgotten that we are one, when we've forgotten our wholeness. It begins with those from the affected community speak up for the most vulnerable in their community. This made me think immediately of how people in New York are speaking up about the discrepancy between the policing of white New Yorkers violating social distancing versus brown-skinned New Yorkers violating social distancing. Videos came out showing the brutality, and pictures comparing the two realities were shared through social media. The community brought to light the stark differences between the crowds gathering in Manhattan who were receiving free masks from police officers versus police officers slapping, pushing, and sitting on the necks of people of color as they walked down their sidewalks. It also made me think of the prayers that I heard from this community last Sunday and previous Sundays, raising concerns for those whose needs are yet to be met, with hopes of finding ways to meet them, whether it's cards and calls to Barbara and Jimmy or Sunny funds for rent, electricity, food for different members of the community in need, or meals for Emily and Matthias as they nurture Nathan Pacific. You all and those who are speaking up around the world for those in need are like the Hellenists, trying to remember the forgotten members of our community. Then we see that the leaders call the community together to select the reputable ones, filled with the spirit and wisdom to delegate the work needed and tend to those most in need. The community is included to find a solution together and to select among themselves reputable, spirit-filled people who are wise. There's an inclusion even in this method. Before I go on about inclusion, I must bring up an obvious exclusion in the text, which is the exclusion of women. As you may have noted, I've decided to contextualize the text and pray that generations to come will keep on broadening those that are included and pointing out our blind spots of where we're failing, like we are pointing our ancestors' blind spots today. Okay, now back. The ones who will respond are from the community itself, and they are selected by the community and known by the community. Not only is the gathering and selecting from the community important, but also the requisites for the job. Precisely because they were to tend to the most vulnerable among them, were they selective, choosing reputable, wise, spirit-filled people. People they could trust with the most neglected members of their community. The approval from the community was necessary before blessing them and appointing them to do the work. The community calls forth those that will tend to the most in need and prays and lays hands on them. The community consecrates and blesses those that will be their hands and feet in bringing the community to further wholeness. Then we see that once the parts of the community that weren't being breathed into or fed were tended to, the community flourished even more. The word of God continued to spread and the numbers of followers increased greatly. By including the neglected parts of the community grows and faith increases. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. This line is important because it shows that even the people in power were changed by the inclusion of the least powerful. In calling attention to the needs within the community and finding ways to tend to those needs, 8th day is its fullest self. 8th day is nourished and filled with life. In reflecting back to the wider community, New York's injustices, not only can more safety and justice and life come to communities of color, but police officers can be fuller versions of themselves, more human, becoming obedient to the faith. We are the voices that complain about injustice. Gather, select, bless, and increase the depth of the breath of the body of Christ when we decide to recognize that we are not whole when neglecting any part of our community. Our community breathes deeper when we breathe life into all corners of our community, especially those most traumatized, most in pain, or most cut off. Act 6 invites us to believe in the wholeness of our community and live into the mystery and depth of our living breath as a community. 1 Peter chapter 2 further invites us to accept the rejected in Jesus, in the body of Christ, and in ourselves. The passage with the living stone rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God as Jesus, then invites us, the body of Christ, to be living stones as well. The passage asks us to behold, to notice. in the present tense, the stone. The stone can be read as the living stones in our community who are rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. Whoever believes in the chosenness and preciousness of the stone shall not be put to shame. Its value is for you who have faith. We will be blessed by the cornerstones, by the hungry, the thirsty, the imprisoned, the sick, and we recognize as holy, that we recognize as holy in value and place in a place of value in our community. For those that do not have faith in that truth, those stones will make people stumble and a rock that will make them fall. They stumble by disobeying the word. We stumble as a community when we reject the dignity and the preciousness of our members. We are the chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own. It is not an individual thing. We all together, the whole body of Christ, are chosen. And we are called out of darkness into God's light. Now, with that note, I invite us to read the passage from a different angle, still understanding the truth about the communal wholeness, but now noticing how it can be a passage that calls us out of darkness into God's light within ourselves. What are the living stones within us that we reject? What aspects of our being have we failed to see as chosen, as precious in the sight of God? There is a moment of consent in this passage that is typical of God. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. Let yourselves. Allow your whole self to be accepted. You already are accepted by God. How can we behold this truth? How can we believe in our chosenness and our preciousness in a way that shall not put us to shame? The value of our rejected parts are seen by those with faith. For those without faith in our whole preciousness, then the part we reject in ourselves becomes our cornerstone, a point of focus, and is a stone that will make us stumble and a rock that will make us fall, and possibly others. You, dear one, are chosen, royal, holy, and a people of God's own, so that you can announce praises to the one who called you out of darkness into God's light. It is very hard to reject our ugly parts while accepting what is perceived as ugly outside of us. What we repress, reject, or deny within ourselves, we tend to repress, reject, and deny in the wider community. In order to be whole, we need to allow God's breath in us, through us, to touch all parts within us, the neglected, the rejected, and the holy parts within us. In doing this, we will allow God's breath in us and through us to touch all parts within our community. Now to the gospel reading. John chapter 14 has so many nuggets of truth and richness. Despite a true temptation to go on and on and on about all the wonders of this passage, I will stick to those that stay with the theme of wholeness, which honestly feels like the whole passage. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in the ways God is embodied and incarnate within your community, in concrete, in the flesh, ways. In God's house, there are many dwellings. All are included, the neglected, the rejected, the holy aspects of yourself and the community. It is in being welcomed by God that those parts of ourselves have any hope of being welcomed by ourselves and healed. And by being welcomed by God and ourselves and others, then we have a model to follow to then welcome and include others. I will come back and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Jesus is letting us know that we have union with God. Jesus is so clear of this union, so clear of who he is and what he is. He exemplifies his wholeness, his oneness with God, and his identity as love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That union with God is the way. That union with God is the truth. And that union with God is the life. No one comes to God except through love incarnate. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know. Can you hear me?
No.
We lost you.
We can now.
You can now?
I can hear.
Okay.
You're back.
Okay.
You're back.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to repeat that line because it was important. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know God and have seen God. This is huge Eighth Day. Our faith calls us to believe in a God who is 100% human and 100% divine. 100% union of creation and creator. This mystery can be life transforming. If we believe that God is incarnate, then our God is not a distant God. Our God has been known and seen by you. Our eyes can then see that our division or distance from God is an illusion. We are whole in God. Jesus accepts this reality and his true identity. We, like Thomas, may doubt it or be confused by it, or like Philip, it can pass right over our heads. And Jesus will keep trying to help us see that there is no inherent separation between us, the body of Christ, and our God. Any separation is simply blindness. You still do not know me, Philip? Jesus, trying to get him to get it. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I'm sure we've heard this passage so many times, but I'm sure Jesus asks it of us today. Do you still not know me, Luiselli? Whoever sees my creation, Michael, Santiago, polar bears, Eighth Day, welcoming and feeding the hungry or scared, those tending to the sick, those dying of COVID-19, those in prison, the body of Christ on this Zoom call has seen Christ, has seen God. Do you not believe in that wholeness? Do you not believe in the incarnation? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. Jesus is intrinsically one with God, with his Abba, and his Abba intrinsically one with him. He names this over and over again, The Father who dwells in me is doing his work, God working through us, with us, and in us. He seems to beg us, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Believe in this wholeness, in this oneness, in this mystery. If not for Jesus' own sake, for the life and mystery that unfolds from him. After referring to this wholeness, which is the mystery of the Trinity, he says to us, eighth day, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me, in this union I have with God, will do the works I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And he drops the mic, figuratively. Beloved eighth day, it seems that Jesus, throughout this gospel, is reiterating over and over again the truth of his identity and his wholeness and oneness with God, not for his own sake, but to build up the last sentence. If we can wrap our heads around the reality of the incarnation in Jesus, of God's union and full and complete presence in Jesus, then maybe, just maybe, we can believe in that reality within ourselves and our community. Then we, eighth day, can do the work Jesus did, the work of inclusion, the work of wholeness, the work of remembering, the work of breathing the breath of God into every crevice of this world and of ourselves. He hands us the body of Christ, the torch, because he's going to his Abba. May we continue to practice saying yes to this invitation eighth day. In a similar way, our mothers, whether biological or simply those who mothered us, prepared us for this. In our relationships with our mothers, we experience being in our mothers and our mothers being in us. We experience someone inviting us to do greater things than they themselves did. We experience someone handing the torch to us. These concrete examples with our mothers allow us to imagine a love as great as the one Jesus describes. May we live and embody this wholeness in our community, this wholeness in ourselves, and this wholeness in God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that wonderful reflection, Roselli. Well, this is the moment we have together to engage in praying as a community. And why don't we start by asking if we have folks who would like to share concerns that they want the community to know about.
Kate, before we jump in, can we have a little bit of silence to meditate on the teaching?
Sure, why not?
That'd be great, thanks.
Amen. So would anyone like to share concerns that they have with the community? And I'll just remind you, when you have a concern, to unmute your mic. And I see Gail waving her hand.
I heard a report on the radio this morning that the hotspot for the virus in our city is Columbia Heights. And they went on to explain that so many Hispanics live in Columbia Heights and are part of kind of the essential workforce in terms of having to get to work and working in the jobs that make them vulnerable. And I just know that many of the folks that we know and love, and many of the folks in the Jubilee Housing and the folks that are served by Jubilee Jumpstart are all in that neighborhood. And I'm just concerned that we be even more vigilant in our support of this group of people who seem to be highly susceptible to this virus.
Yeah, thank you, Gail. I saw that it was both Columbia Heights and 16th Street Heights, and I had not heard an interpretation as to why. But what you say makes sense. I'll just tag on to that, which is that Ernesto was speaking with Padre Vidal yesterday, who runs has a congregation, an Episcopalian church, out in the Hyattsville area. And he preached at 8th Day a long time ago, and he runs the Monsignor Romero Committee that provides financial support to Central and South American communities. And 8th Day supports his ministry. But Padre Vidal says that in his congregation, there are 57 adults who have no work. 42 people are infected with the coronavirus, and 2 people have died. Oh. And so, you know, if you compare his congregation to ours, we're in such a privileged position of well-being, and his congregation is just being devastated by the virus in many different ways. And I think you're right, Gail. You know, a lot of the essential workers, the people that we call essential workers now, are low-income people, many of whom are immigrants. And so it's something for us to think about. Who else has a concern that they'd like to raise?
This is Connie. Last Sunday, Jesse started having some problems in his left eye, and it turns out he has a torn retina, and he's had to be lying on his back or on his side for 6 days now, and it's not a detached retina, at least they don't think so, but he went to the doctor on Monday, and they said to lie on his back, and then on Thursday, it wasn't resolved enough for them to do the laser repair, so he's been at home recuperating. So I just wanted to pray for him. And they should do the procedure tomorrow, and hopefully one of the reasons why they don't want him to walk around is to further damage the eye or exert himself. So it's hard for a person who's so active, but he's accepting it. And but I just wanted to pray for him.
I'd like to
add- Hello. Can I say something?
Okay. Sure, Helen.
Okay, so one of the reasons is spreading. I have gone to where they distribute food a couple of times, and it's like people don't get it. I have to literally stand far away if I'm trying to get something, and for a few hours. And it's dangerous. And who's in the line? Mostly Hispanics and minorities. And they're so close together. Columbia Heights has lots of people walking around without masks. I have to run from them when I'm walking the dog. And joggers, they don't wear masks. I'm sure it's uncomfortable, but it's deadly. So, and then I'm near Target. You know, that looks like they're still, you know, they're still open. They're in that area. There, people walking around like this, you know, this is not happening. People can't grasp this. And this is some of the reason why people are dying, because people don't honor social distancing. So also I want to pray for the young man's family that was jogging and just got shot for jogging. That's it. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Okay. I'm mute.
I wanted to have us pray for our families at Bethany. One of my families, she just lost her mother just a few days ago, right before Mother's Day.